churches, I almost always have interactive service. Okay? Interactive. That means that I don't have all the answers. And I like to get audience involvement. And I'm going to tell you, I was on vacation in May, and I did this walk. You might have heard of it. It's about a 500-mile walk across the top of Spain. Okay? Called the El Camino de Santiago de Compostela, or the Way of St. James. And because I speak Spanish, you know how much fun that was for me, right? Spanish and English. And I walked for 30 days, and the very first few days, my legs were just trembling, and I'd get to my destination, and I'd just jolt around until the ibuprofen hit. Then I was okay again, right? And then after about 8 or 9 days, I started getting, much better fit. And after a while, there was nothing happening at all. I didn't even need the ibuprofen. I was, I felt like Rocky, okay? But one of the saddest things that took place was as I walked across northern Spain, and there were no Protestant churches. I didn't find one Protestant church the whole time. And I met a man from Hungary. He was also a pastor. He's a Baptist pastor. He had an internet. He couldn't find any churches either. And so sometimes we'd pray together. We'd say, Lord, bring a church here. Get a real... But in the meantime, I would go to church and I would go to the Catholic churches. But you know what happens is in the Catholic churches in Spain, it's just like all this gold and all the glitter, and they'd have horses with swords, and they'd be cutting people's heads off, and there'd be huge things of statues of Mary and huge things of all the apostles and just a little bit of Jesus over here. And when the Reformation came, they said, get rid of all that junk, okay? And so they took all the clutter out of the church because they didn't want us looking up there and trying to figure out what the horse was doing and how many people were getting killed. And what happened, though, is that in Spain, the priests lead everything and the people don't sing. They just sit there. You be passive and I'm going to do the whole service, okay? It's almost like Melissa, and except we were all singing with her, right? But the idea was, I thought to myself, is this the intention of the first church, the early church, that we'd have a talking head up here and you guys would all be quiet and just hear the pastor? No. The idea of interaction is really important. I love it when people come back. So in our churches, we're always, I'm asking, they're talking, okay? Because I don't want people to go to sleep. And I don't want people to think, oh, I'm just a passive participant. I want active participants. Okay? We have questions all the time, my friend. I'm not kidding you. And I didn't know what kind of service, what kind of people you were, but I kind of found out here. Okay. I'd like to start with reading Psalm 19. If you have the book, but I also see it's up there, and fortunately it's the same as what I have in my Bible, so we are going to read Psalm 19. I've been preaching through the Psalms, and I've come across some real juicy things, guys. I'm going to share with you. Let's see, how long do I have till about 10:20, 10:30, 10:40, 10:50? This is Hispanic ministry you guys got here. Okay. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they poureth forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom, coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen?
Amen.
The word of God. My wife, we live together in an old farmhouse. It's 100 years old next year. And we don't have a paved driveway. We live outside in the country a little bit. And so we drive in, and then my wife decided to put a border between the driveway and the plants, her garden. Okay, so, you know, kind of big rocks there. And one day I was driving my wife's car, and I said, "Hun, you hit those rocks again?" That's because she parked right alongside those rocks, and when she turned sharp to get out of the driveway, she'd hit the rocks every time. Now, she can drive down the road, and she never notices that her car is pulling to the right. She never notices it. Now, my wife is a very smart lady. Okay, she's a hospice nurse, works with somebody you guys know, used to be a pastor of this church. But she never notices it. She could drive probably for a month without noticing it, 2 months without, you know, take the hands off the steering wheel. Where the car's going? Right toward the ditch, you know. And so we fixed the car up, and then, sure enough, about 2 months later, same thing. And I said to her, "Hun, no more. You park over there. I park right here." Solved the problem. So if your tires, you look out, go out and look at your front of your tires, and if they're worn on one side of your tires, usually means you need wheel alignment because you're not doing things like you should. Okay? I love the Psalms. I love the Psalms. And when people in the jail say to me, "Joe, what should I read?" I know everybody has their little favorite things. I say, "Go to the Psalms. Go to the Psalms. I love the Psalms." In this psalm this morning, when I look at Psalm 19, it looks like it's divided into three different groups. It first talks about the heavens declare the glory of God, and talks about all the beauty of nature, and then the next part talks about the law of the Lord and how beautiful that is. And then the last, it doesn't really fit very well, the last part about hidden sins and sins that dominate me. I don't quite get that. So we'll try to figure it all out today, okay? But it certainly is not very hard to figure out the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, you'd have to be an idiot, wouldn't you, not be able to say that the heavens declare the glory of God. When people start talking to you like an idiot, say they don't believe in God and blah, 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 I think to myself, you know, you don't have to believe in a God if you don't want to, but it's so obvious that you kind of wonder where the people are even coming from to think that it can just happen because nothing just happens. You know, Romans 1 says that man is without excuse. All men are without excuse because the creation declares that there is a God. You cannot say there isn't one because all men can see in creation that there's a God. That's what Romans 1 says. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. And I like that whole idea that it's not a one-time event. It's constantly going. It's not like we have an epiphany. No. Every single time you walk outside, you can see the heavens declare the glory of God. And we are in exciting moments right now with this whole, this last little, whatever you want to call it, satellite that went to Jupiter, and you are seeing Saturn, but, you know, this whole idea of Jupiter and his moons, and then they say on the TV, you know, they say, okay, brothers, we're gonna find out about the origins of time now by looking at Jupiter. How the world really began. Yeah, right. You know, folks, you guys don't have it yet. Hebrews chapter 1 says that Jesus sustains the entire universe by his word. I want you to think about that. Sustains the entire universe by his word. Of course, the Creator could do that. You know, I know of a man who works in a laboratory underground in Switzerland. And he works with a whole group of scientists, and they're trapping atoms. You guys heard about this guy? Calvin Grad? Okay. And he goes around sometimes, and he talks to people, and he says, there is such obvious that there's a God here. And, of course, he's looking through this huge microscope, right? And he said, they're so perfect. You can't miss there's a God. And so I think to myself, you know, you can have this huge telescope or this huge microscope, and we always come up with the same conclusion. Wow. God, you are so cool. And creation just screams out, I'm here. Look at me. There's order. There's meaning. It's just, I'm overwhelmed, okay? And there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their speech goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. There is no audible speech, no audible language, no voice directly from God that says, I'm God, look. He doesn't do that. Yet they speak so loudly. You know, I get amazed also at that, and please don't get all excited when I say this, but global warming. I want you to think about this. I know that we all have some responsibility for man's footprint and blah, blah, blah. And I have a whole bunch of kids. I have 6 kids, and they're always telling me that I'm full of hot air. Because I tell them this. As the Earth orbits around the sun, it is never in the same orbit exactly. It's rotating. It's spinning around. It's never in the exact same orbit. There's always a few. You're here, a little bit farther out, a little bit farther in. But you know how God holds it all together, because if we had spun out too far, we'd be so cold. If we got too hot, we'd all burn up. We all know this, right? And as the Earth gets closer to the sun sometimes, we heat up. I just telling you, I'm not going to start any more than that. You want to argue with me later on? Talk with me later. That's okay. I'm not saying that we don't have a responsibility here, but I'm also telling you that as the Earth gets closer to the sun, we heat up. And I like the two words, but God. Just those two words. Anytime you find them in the Bible, you know good and well that everything's running this direction, and then but God changes everything. We're running this direction. And just like the sun touches everything, God touches everything. And his first 6 verses we're talking about are God's word and voice is heard and understood throughout all creation. And we call this general revelation, in theological terms, general revelation. And then we have something else called special revelation. And special revelation only is found in the Word of God. Okay? And this is my favorite part right here, by the way. David uses, in verses 6 and 7 and 11, he uses special words to describe the Word of God. He uses the word, the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, and the ordinances of the Lord. And we would kind of group all that together and not necessarily say the law. We could just say the Word of God. And now here comes, you guys are going to help me a little bit. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. How does the law of the Lord revive the soul? Man does not live by bread alone. Excellent. Gives it parameters. Excellent. The Holy Ghost. All right. Convicts us of sin. Okay, I'm thinking a lot along these lines that you know, I deal a lot with depressed people in the jail. They're all depressed. You go to, if you're in prison, you get depressed. If you're in jail, you're depressed. They just sit there all day long and sleep and sleep and sleep. And if you're not depressed when you get in there, you'll be depressed after you've been there for a while. Okay, and that's how God kind of works. He works in those moments, and people are crushed, broken, and they can't stand it any longer. And so God's Word, well, I come to them, I'd say, here's the Bible, start reading. I want you to read all of Genesis this week. I do that a lot. And we're going to talk next week. I have a bookstore in Mount Vernon that saves all the purpose-driven life books that they get, and they give it to me. And so I've probably brought in maybe 400 or 500 books. And I tell people, take this home with them. Purpose-driven life. Boom. I talk to them. I want these Skype people to be not just sitting there. But, you know, when you read your Bible, it changes depression and it changes people completely. Okay? The Word of God is like magic. And I don't mean to use magic like, something weird. Okay? It gives life to the soul, and it blesses those who follow it. Now, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. How do the statutes of the Lord make simple the things simple wise? How do the statutes of the Lord make the simple wise? You guys know that there's a lot of difference between smarts and wisdom, right? There's a lot of smart people, but there's not a whole lot of wise people. Would we agree with that? And there's a lady in our church who can't read or write, and her kids sometimes call her dumb. But if you follow God's Word, and if you make that a priority in your life, you end up becoming a very wise person. And that's how you get wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the? All right. So we're going to get somewhere there, right? The more a person spends time with God, the greater the chances of becoming a wise person. Amen? And now my question to you. Do you spend time in God's Word? Because you know what? I know so many people come to church and they can sing the songs and they can clap the clap and stuff. But you know what? Life takes over during the week a lot of times, and we do not have time. I'm going to put "we don't have time" in quotes to read God's Word. Okay? And I'm just going to leave it right there for the moment. Okay? Do you spend time every day reading God's Word? The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. And how do the precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart? How many people read the newspaper every day? Okay. Does that give joy to the heart? Well, I'm glad we're all on the same page there. Yeah, well, that might give a little bit more joy to the heart. Reading magazines doesn't give joy to the heart. I listen to books all the time because I drive a lot. I get joy to the heart. Okay, I wouldn't do it if I wasn't getting some kind of a joy. But I don't get the joy I get when I read the Bible. the Bible, I met a Gideon here. Did you know that? When I first came in the door, I met a guy from the Gideons. I said, what makes you come to this church? He said, well, they stick to the Word of God. And I said, I like that. This church must be an all right church. I read the Bible through every year. And I have a little program that says, Joe, read this, and you get done, you know. And I get done at the end of the year, and I have Malachi I have to read, and Revelation 22. And that's on December 31. And I just, yeah, I got the whole book done again. You know, I got it. You think you could tell me something that's in this book that I haven't read? And I've been doing this for years and years and years. It gives me joy, not just because I've finished it, but because I'm becoming a man of the Word. And this year, I switched for the first time, and I read it through Eugene Peterson's book, The Message. I'm reading it right now. And that throws me for a loop, but it's been real fun. Okay? We need more people of the Word. We really do. And most people can't. They say, I just don't have time to read that. That takes 25 minutes a day to get your reading in every day. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Might take 25 minutes. Yeah. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. And how do the commands of the Lord give light to the eyes? Okay, gives light to his eyes through his word. If we follow that word, we certainly are moved inside of our hearts and stuff. You bet. You know what jumped into my mind was, you know, there's so many issues today where the world is saying this is right when it's wrong, and when it's wrong, they're saying it's right. Have you guys come through this? You know, we just had a judge that we had a case in Skagit County where The hospital didn't want to do abortions. And so they took it out of our county, stuck it up in your county, and then the county, the judge up here said, you must do abortions in that hospital, forcing us to do it. I'm sorry. I'm not blaming you guys for what's happening up here. The Word of God is living and active, sharper, and any two-edged sword, all right? It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Wow. You know, it's a lot easier to judge what's evil and what's good when you read the Word of God. It's just plain helps us out. And the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. When I was walking on this Camino, I'm going to call it Camino, you guys call it whatever you like in Spain. I could walk through the largest cities or these little teeny villages of maybe 15 houses, and I walked through hundreds of those. Or I could walk through amber waves of grain, because I would walk for 3 days through grain fields. And then another 3 or 4 days through just straight vineyards. And you get a chance to walk that Camino. Doesn't matter how old you are. The oldest person was 91 who walked on that, okay? But when they would have these arrows, these yellow arrows spray painted, and you could find it on the cement, you could find it on the corners of buildings, sometimes they'd have a signpost with an arrow and said, this is the way you go. And they were all over, so I could walk right through the big cities. It didn't matter where I was going. Everybody always had their head up looking for those arrows. And wherever those arrows went, that's where I would go. And then one day, I missed one. And one day, I walked about a mile off the trail down another road. And I kept looking around. There's no arrows. Finally, thankfully I could speak Spanish, I said, hey, fulano, ¿qué pasó? ¿Dónde está la dirección de este camino? He said, up that way. You missed the arrows. You have to use your imagination. And so he said, back up, go back up. And so sure enough, I went back up, and there was the arrow, got back on the path, And I think about us. Every one of us gets off the track every once in a while. You know, hello? Right? Don't we get off the track here and there? And we have to go backwards, get back on the path, and get going. Oh, I only got 2 more minutes. The Bible helps us stay on track. The track to living healthy and righteous lives. They are more precious than gold, than much fine gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. The Word of God, the commandments, precepts, ordinances, statutes, and laws are more precious than gold. You know, as our society, we are on a relentless quest for more gold, for more money. Get out of my way, because I want more stuff. Are we running after the right stuff? I'm talking about you and I, not the society. Are we running after the right stuff? They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Now, I just told you I live out in the country, you know, good and well what I have in my backyard, right? And for years, when I'd get my extractor out to take the honey out, my kids would come running. Because there is nothing sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. It does not taste like store-bought honey. Okay? It is so delightful. It lights up the eyes, and my kids would be chewing the wax from the foundations and stuff, and I'd be scraping it all off to put it in the extractor. Honey from the honeycomb is sweet. Oh, well, I'm not really here to talk about honey. Psalm 19 says God's Word does this. And are you experiencing this? Do you delight more in God's Word than the newspaper? Do you find reading God's Word sweet? Does it rev your engines up at all? Or are you saying, you know, I've read this so many times, it's just the same old, same old? It's not. Can we be excited about reading God's Word? You know, we look at the heaven. Oh, look at this. Oh, and she's saying, oh, I've seen all the beauty up there. I got to see some animals. Okay, I want that same joy reading God's Word. And you know, I preached a sermon in our Spanish church a little while ago. That's why I picked it. Makes it easy for me. But after I preached it, I kept saying that same word to Joe Strong. Joe, are you finding this sweet? And I realized that the more I spoke to myself, the sweeter this got. And by them is your servant warned, and keeping them, there is great reward. And I was thinking about how a parent talks to your kids. Hey, kid, you listen, it's going to pay big dividends. Hey, folks, if you listen, it pays big dividends. Can we hear God's voice above the sounds of so many other things that are calling us? That's the question. Verses 12 through 14 goes on and says, who can discern his own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. And you know, we all have a lot of sins that we're not even aware of. And that's why God gives us spouses. If you don't have one, it's okay. This is just a joke. When we walk close to God, the Holy Spirit also has his own way of touching our conscience and showing us our sin. And we should never be proud of our sin. We should always be ashamed of it. Never take advantage because I've sinned. Always the exact opposite. Say, Lord, this isn't cool, and I'm not cool with it either. Then it says, keep your servant from willful sins, may they not rule over me. And I was thinking, sins that rule over us oftentimes are addictions. And I know that nobody here is addicted. You know what? We are all addicted. We're all addicted. I work with a lot of drug addicts, but I'm not talking about drug addicts. I would be curious. I'll be open with you guys. One of mine that I fight all the time is when I'm in the car all by myself. I'm in the car. And everybody around me, not everybody, but a lot of people in front of me, they drive me nuts. And there's all these words come out of my mouth, and nobody else is there. Well, the Lord's there. And I have to keep fighting that right there. This guy fights that all the time. I think, you dumbhead. You know, you jerk. I mean, that's what I talk, and I think, Joe, come on, calm down. Everything you say doesn't help anyway. Why don't you just slow down a little bit? You know, it doesn't matter if you get there 5 minutes early or not. And other people do it when they get upset and they just stuff their face. Right? That's an easy way out. Words that come out of your mouth when you're not expecting it. You're all by yourself doing something. Sometimes words come out. You think, wow, where'd that come from? Your eyes. You know how the eyes right now today are one of the worst. I'm going to take the liberty of taking a couple more minutes of your time today. I'm sorry, you guys. This last week, the week before, I had the privilege of meeting a lady who is the only seminary professor in all of Egypt. She worked with Christian Reformed World Missions, and she teaches in a seminary which provides pastors for all the Arab worlds, because in the places like Jordan and places like Syria and other places, they cannot have a Christian seminary, but in Egypt they could. And so this lady ends up becoming the only woman seminary professor in the whole Middle East there. You know what I felt like doing? Oh, man! Ann, you are wonderful! But you know, she was talking to us about oppression and how the Egyptians are oppressed people, and they realize that they don't mind living oppressed. That's part of their calling. And then one of the pastors said, well, we're not oppressed here. She said, what? You don't think you're oppressed? And then she's speaking from a person from the Middle East mentality. She says, look at the sexuality in your culture. You are really oppressed with the sexuality that sells cars and that sells, the women always walking around who knows what and et cetera. And I thought later, man, there wasn't a drop said in our group of pastors that heard that lady talk. And she said, you're not oppressed. She said, look at the loneliness in your culture and how that's driving addictions. Whew. Once again, a pin could have dropped. I think it's better off to have a visible enemy than having all these invisible ones. Anyway, we battle sin. We're all battling sin every single day. Galatians 5 says that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And today we do have the Holy Spirit who convicts us, and He also helps us. And we have the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all our sins, so that we can always start over again. But we can go for a long time without ever being close to Jesus. And this is about getting your wheels aligned. Because what I do when I talk to people in the jail, and I talk to people in my own church, one of the big questions I have is, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? And I'm going to ask each person here, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you walking close with Jesus? And if you're not, you need to get back on the road. You need your wheels aligned, right? Because that is the key to living, having a close relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hey, I like that, brother. Yeah. Now, we're talking special revelation here, right? We've just been reading straight scripture. And we know if David were living today and had to rewrite Psalm 19, he would talk about the Word becoming flesh. Right? And I just want to look right now at verse 7 and following up here. Okay? And I'm going to put Jesus in the place of every time I see law or precept or command. Okay? Jesus, verse 7. Jesus is perfect and revives the soul. Verse 8. Jesus is trustworthy and makes wise the simple. Jesus gives joy to the soul. Jesus is radiant and gives light to the eyes. Jesus is pure and endures forever. Jesus is sure and altogether righteous. Jesus is more precious than gold, more than fine gold. Jesus is sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Brother, what do you say?
Amen.
Follow Jesus. Love him. Obey him. Keep him close. Listen to his voice. And there is great reward. When you fall, what? Get back up again. When you fall again, get back up again. Each day is a new day. Each day we can start over no matter how poorly we have failed the day before. Sometimes with addictions, we have minutes or hours before we fail. But if we continue to get back up again and say, Lord God Almighty, give me the strength, it will soon become days. And after days, it will become weeks. Never stop trying just because we fall. God will help us. God keeps us going. God never fails. Now, the last verse should be memorized by everybody in this room, right? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing, but I like be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer. Psalm 1 starts out, it says, don't be like the bad guys, but meditate on the word of God day and night, and you'll become like a tree planted by streams of water. And there's a couple things that happen. What happens? Three things. Pardon me? Yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf doesn't wither. And whatever you do, you will prosper. That's guaranteed, folks. Okay, let's pray. Lord, you rock. You really do. Your word is so beautiful, so precious. Fills us, period. This fills us. We have direction. We have light. We have purpose. We have so many good things just poured upon us because your word is so cool. Thank you for giving us your word. Lord, if our wheels are not aligned, would you please align them? Help us get closer to you during this week. Help us grow and want to follow you. Help us appreciate your word as if it were honey from the honeycomb or more precious than gold. That's what we would just want to see your word in that respect. And Lord, if we are a little bit far off the trail, bring us back because we want to walk with you. Lord, I would pray especially for anybody here who's really struggling, who's really going through a deep time, a dark time in their life, that you would pick them up, bring them to solid ground. Thank you for being with us this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.